Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. Today we begin, for the next this Sunday and the next three Sundays, a reading of St. John's Bread of Life Discourse, found in chapter 6 of the Gospel. I encourage you to take the time to continue to read and reflect on it. Recall, though, the stage. And that is, last Sunday, we began with the miracle of the multiplication of the loaves and the fish. Here was the miracle, just as Father Farrell and I both preached about, that really foreshadowed the greatest miracle of them all, the gift of the Holy Eucharist and the Mass. That miracle by which the Last Supper, sacrifice, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord are celebrated, sacramentally represented for time immemorial of the saving event. So with that miracle performed, these crowds follow Jesus, and they want to know more about what he does, what this is about. So our Lord begins this beautiful teaching. Notice in our gospel today, though, there's that reference that manna was sent down from heaven, that Moses had interceded. We hear of this in our first passage. Jesus corrects them. And Jesus says, remember, it wasn't Moses who did this. It was God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who sent that manna down. Moses was just the mediator, just as Abraham was a mediator. Or even before, we have Melchizedek and we have Abel, all mediators. But that's what a priest is. A mediator. And so Jesus has come to fulfill that role as mediator. So yes, while we think of Moses and Abraham and others of the Old Testament who were the mediators between God and his people, it is Christ who is the true high priest. Christ who's been sent into this world by the Father to reconcile his people back to the Father. It is Christ who offers the perfect sacrifice. Christ who feeds his people with the living bread, his very self. But my brothers and sisters, then, we have to remember that while we focused on the Mass and the gift of the Holy Eucharist and the mystery of transubstantiation last Sunday, this Sunday we need to pause and think about the priesthood. Because without the priesthood, there is no Mass. There is no Holy Eucharist. Christ, the priest, purposely instituted his priesthood, and he gave that priesthood beginning with his apostles. At the night of the Last Supper, when Jesus instituted the Holy Eucharist, he told the apostles, "Do this in remembrance of me." These were holy orders. Christ ordained his apostles to be his priests. And that priesthood has been carried on. But the ministry of the priest is that as a mediator, the instrument between God and his people. It's interesting, in the Latin language, we have the word pontifex, which means priest, translated into English. But pontifex means bridge builder. That's really what the priest is, the bridge builder, just as Christ was the bridge between us and his heavenly Father, to reconcile us back to the Father. So the priest is meant to be the bridge between the people and Almighty God. And so our dear Lord instituted this priesthood. The priest is called to represent Christ. On the 50th anniversary of his own ordination as a priest, Pope St. John Paul II released a beautiful little book called Gift and Mystery. And he wrote this about the priesthood. He said, "The priestly vocation is a mystery of a wondrous exchange, admirabili commercium, between God and man. A man offers his humanity to Christ so that Christ may use him as an instrument of salvation, making him, as it were, into another Christ. In our world, is there any greater fulfillment of our humanity than to be able to represent every day in persona Christi the redemptive sacrifice, the same sacrifice which Christ offered on the cross. In this sacrifice, on the one hand, the very mystery of the Trinity is present in the most profound way. And on the other hand, the entire created universe is united in offering on the altar of the whole earth the world's work and suffering. This is a beautiful statement because it reminds us of the role of the priest as that mediator, the priest who offers the sacrifice of the Mass in the person of Christ. But again, always remember, it's really Christ who's offering the Mass. The priest is simply the instrument. But it also reminds us, too, that you're part of that sacrifice. We all are, because by virtue of our baptism, we share in the priesthood of Jesus. We are called to share in his work. So at this Mass, I do pray that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable. Your sacrifice is the offering of yourselves, and your joys, your sorrows, your works, your prayers of this day, of your life, to Almighty God. But nevertheless, the reality is that this Mass, offered by the priest, working in the person of Christ, represents that Last Supper, sacrifice, resurrection, and ascension. That this Mass is the sacrifice by which bread and wine are transubstantiated in the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. But that takes the priest. But the priest is more than just offering this Mass. The priest is the one who also has to preach the Word of God and to teach the faith. As St. Paul reminds us in our second passage, that the priest is called to exhort the faithful to a life of holiness, a life of righteousness. The priest is also the one who administers the other sacraments. So normally, it is the priest who baptizes, the priest who, yes, confects the Holy Eucharist, the priest who absolves sins. With permission of the bishop, the priest may confirm, especially in the case of like an adult convert. The priest witnesses a marriage and blesses that marriage. The priest anoints the sick and prepares the dying for that passage from this life to the next. All the work of a priest. But really, again, it's Christ working through his priest. The priest is simply the humble servant, the mediator. Notice, though, I did not mention the sacrament of holy orders. Only the bishop can ordain. So way back when, 30-some years ago, when I was thinking about becoming a priest, yes, Bishop Welsh who accepted me for studies, but then eventually, having finished seminary work, Bishop Keating called me to holy orders. Bishop Keating ordained me as a priest by the laying on of hands. This is important to remember because the bishop is the successor of the apostles. He can trace his holy orders back to them. And so that holy orders is extended to a priest at ordination. I didn't just say, I'm going to start a church. I didn't just say, well, I'm going to be a priest today. No, I had a desire, but it is the church who called, and it is the bishop who ordained. That's so important. Our priesthood is an extension, then, of that apostolic authority that goes back to Jesus himself and what he entrusted to his apostles. So, my brothers and sisters, we have priests. And keep in mind, too, that when we think of priests, that when a priest is ordained, he does take a vow of obedience, promising that he will do the will of God as given through the bishop. Also, the priest promises celibacy. It's a sign that the priest is giving his life totally to serve the Lord, but to serve you. In a way, the priest is married to the church. The priest is called father because you're the spiritual children. Keep in mind, this is a great gift to you. Not just the priest giving himself to Christ, the priest is giving himself to you. I don't have a split personality. Priest 8 hours a day, and then maybe go off to another job or a family and so on. No, priest 24 hours, 7 days a week. That's who I am. So pray for your priests. But as we think of this, we're very happy that this week, August the 4th, we celebrate the anniversary, the feast day, of the patron saint of parish priests, St. John Vianney. And he was born back in the year 1786 near Lyon, France, to a very poor peasant farming family. 3 years later, the French Revolution came. The church was outlawed. It had to go underground. The French Revolution that promised fraternity and liberty and unity also promoted secularism and saw the church as the enemy. When he made his first communion, that was an act of treason. It was celebrated at a mass in a barn by a clandestine priest who was working underground administering the sacraments. St. John and his family could have been guillotined, but nevertheless, people kept the faith. Then came Napoleon. Well, St. John wanted to be a priest. He couldn't afford it, so his parish priest paid for his seminary education. St. John had troubles. He had to leave the seminary. He just didn't have the academic ability, so his parish priest trained him, so helped prepare him. Finally, the parish priest said to the bishop, "St. John is ready to be a priest." And the bishop said, "Well, is he holy? That's the key question." And the parish priest said, "He's very holy." So St. John was ordained as a priest, was a parochial vicar for 2 years, and then he was assigned to a little parish church in the town of Ars, a little bit southeast of Lyon, France, still there today. A small town, about 300 people. When the bishop sent him there, the bishop said, "Those people do not have much love for God." What a way to begin your first assignment as a pastor. But St. John went to this little village of 300 people. 300 people were mostly peasants, farmers, and so on. But in that town, there was a dilapidated church, but there were 7 thriving bars and brothels. That's where people spent their time. Well, St. John began rebuilding his church. He needed a place where God would have a beautiful home so that people would find a home to pray in. And then he went to the bars and the brothels. He started challenging people to change their lives and find real life in Christ. He began preaching and teaching the catechism to children and to adults alike. His focus was on the sacrifice of the Mass, and he said it very reverently. And he also said that all good works put together are not equivalent to the sacrifice of the Mass because they are the works of men, and the Holy Mass is the work of God. People started coming. And he preached repentance and conversion, encouraging people to confession. He would spend maybe 10 hours a day sometimes hearing confessions. Well, over the course of his life, so over 42 years of being pastor in this village, the whole village changed. And by the end of his life, just 1 year later, 80,000 people were coming to this little village just to come visit that church, to worship at that Mass, to go to confession, or to hear him preach. Now, was it him? No. It was about Jesus, the priest who brought Jesus to his people. So, my brothers and sisters, we will continue on through our journey of the Bread of Life discourse next week. But I really want you to reflect on all of this. Think about last week's gospel, with the multiplication of the loaves and the fish, and the whole mystery of the Mass and transubstantiation. Think about the mystery of the priesthood, what God has given to his church. And with that, pray for your priests. Priests need your prayers. This is not an easy age in which to be a priest, whether because of all the politics that counter what we teach, or it's because of troubles at times within our church. Not an easy time. So pray for your priests. Support your priests. I would also encourage you to defend your priests. When the mighty mouth of the neighborhood starts picking on your priests, maybe say, "Well, when you die, who are you going to call?" Good question. I can't tell you how many times I've been called by the lapsed Catholics because someone is dying. All of a sudden, they need a priest. Once again, pray also for our future priests, like Joe Townsend, our seminarian who's been here for the summer, that they will continue to persevere. Pray for all of our seminarians. Pray for vocations. As Bishop Laverty always says when he comes for confirmation, Don't just pray, oh, we need priests, dear God, but choose someone else from some other family. No, pray about your own family. Because I know in our own little parish here, we're blessed to have one seminarian studying, Joe Machetto, but we also have one man I know discerning right now. Pray for him and pray that his family will give him the encouragement. Pray for your family. Maybe God is calling one of your children to serve him. How wonderful that would be. Think of the blessings your family will receive. So yes, the priest. Pray for your priests that, like St. John Vianney said, that they will have a heart like that of Jesus Christ. May God bless you.